Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
Well, there are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment He forgave me, He took away my heavy burdens, and He gave me peace within. Say it'll never make me doubt it, it's real, I'm gonna shout it. For I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Now I don't care who tells me salvation is not real. Though the world may argue, they say we cannot fail. But the heavy burden's lifted, the vile sins are gone. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment He forgave me, He took away my heavy burdens, and He gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it, it's real, I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.
Ray always has a good song, and I've had the opportunity to be blessed by his singing for soon to be 43 years.
Wow, babe, 43 years and we are still together. Never been separated. Amen. Slept in the same place, same house, been together 43 years. Still actively searching for his ways, for ways to work for the Lord. You know, like Conway Twitty, I heard sing a song one time. I'll kindly do it like this, and I'll let it go. And after 43 years, we're still together. What do you think, babe?
I think that's pretty neat, right? You know, and I love to hear you sing. And you know, that's one thing that God's doing right now, isn't it? He's having you take some of the old country and western songs, and tunes, and turning them into gospel songs.
We're putting
songs.
Gospel words together.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyway. So, last week, we had Ray share about us and his life and how he received his call into the ministry.
Hey, right, Pam. And this week, it is my turn to interview you. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. First of all, tell us a little bit when you got saved and how you were filled with the Holy Ghost.
Ray, I was 6 years old when I got saved. And I remember it was in the prayer room at the Gospel Lighthouse Church, which at that time was in Oak Cliff, the suburb of Dallas. Sister Hibbert knelt beside me and led me in the sinner's prayer. I know I was saved because even at six, I felt a difference about myself. I think it was about 2 years later, when I was 8 years old, that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, once again at the Gospel Lighthouse Church. We were in a revival meeting, and everyone who wanted to receive the Holy Ghost was asked to come to the front and be prayed for. What a glorious experience.
So, Pam, you were very fairly young when you were saved, and you were filled with the baptism. How old were you, and how did you know that you were called into the ministry?
Ray, I know it sounds young, but I was still in that same age range. I was, eight, almost nine, I think. And we were attending another revival. At, you know, back then, they had revivals at the churches all the time.
Yes, they did.
Amen. And it wasn't just two or three nights. It could be weeks on weeks. But it was a good time. Anyway, we were attending another revival at the church, and it was a brother Dunn who was preaching, and he pointed me out, and this is what he said. He said, "The young lady with the pretty long hair and the red dress on, the Lord has a special call on your life." Well, I was so excited. But, you know, the adults in my life didn't seem to think too much of it. But I guess you could say, Ray, that I began to ponder it in my spirit.
Say, you mean you're saying you knew that the Lord had a calling on your life when you were around 8 or 9 years old? Let me ask you, did you always serve the Lord, or did you stray away?
Well, Ray, I was very fortunate that I was taught early on to read my Bible and pray every day. I learned the importance of learning how to pray through, how to really bombard the throne of God and know that you had victories, that you could walk out this life and be continue in His grace and mercy. And, you know, if I had any questions about if anything was right or wrong, I was encouraged to check the scriptures and pray about it. You remember, Ray, the bracelets that the youth were wearing for a while that had WWJD on them?
Okay.
Well, that means, what would Jesus do?
Okay.
Well, that was basically what the youth I was raised with were encouraged to measure our decisions again. What would Jesus do? Or would Jesus go there or do that?
Well, listen, tell us a little bit about your teenage years. I remember when I met you at 18, you were pretty involved in your church.
Yeah, you could say that. I was involved. We had a wonderful group of young people at the Assembly of God Tabernacle in Irving. All of us loved the Lord. We were so blessed to be encouraged to teach, preach, pray, sing, play instruments, and so forth. But again, the Bible was an important part of everything that we did. So, I was Sunday school teacher, choir member, youth director, pianist, and whatever else the pastors needed me to do. Loved it.
Okay, Pam, when I met you, you were the youth director. You were playing for the youth group and in church. The thing that struck me, that the closeness that existed in that youth group, oh, how they reached out to other youth groups in the area. Remember, I was going to a Church of God and you were going to the Assembly of God, but we were able to fellowship.
We were. And if you think about it, there were three or four couples who married from those two groups. And just think of all the ministries who came out of those groups.
One I think of is in very particular is Sandy and Arthur Ward. They are pastors in Little Rock, Arkansas area at Rock Harvest Church. In fact, I think there's a funny story about Sandy.
There is. You know, Sandy and I were sitting in the local waffle shop named Pals, where all the young youth and young adults went, and we were having a cup of coffee, or when we talk about me back then, I guess we should say some coffee and my cream and sugar, you know. Anyway, we were sitting there this one night, and you and your friend Gene Hunt walked in, and we tried real hard not to be obvious, but we were watching the two of you to see if y'all were watching us.
Yeah, we were.
Well, anyway, the coffee was a ploy to try and make us look older, and I guessed it worked. Well, you know, you and I had been introduced before by another friend, but we just never connected. I knew he and Gene went to the Church of God, So we figured they were Christians and would be okay guys to date. To make a long story short, we ended up getting together. And of course, at first, Ray was interested in Sandy until he figured out that she could out-talk him.
Amen.
He says he couldn't get in a word edgewise. Anyway, so he wanted to change girls. And you know what? I'm sure glad he did.
Well, if I remember correctly, that was in the fall of 1968. And that next March, we got engaged. And we married in May of 1969.
You're right. And talk about a long engagement.
Well, hey, let's fast forward a little. We were married, and the first year we were married, well, we moved all the time.
We sure did. And we used to joke and say that we moved every time the rent come due.
Hey, the first year or so, we were what people call the weekend evangelists. We traveled with our friends, Danny and Gaylene Murphy. You know, we really did have fun, didn't we?
You know, Ray, we did. But you know, God never failed to show up. And we seen salvations, healings, deliverance, and so forth and so on as we worked for the Lord.
Well, you know, Pam, last week I talked and told about going to Texarkana, Texas. Tell a little bit about your first attempt at having a vacation Bible school.
Well, as you can figure out by now, I had just barely turned 20 at the time. And when we went to Texarkana, I decided I wanted to have a vacation Bible school. But we didn't know a whole bunch of kids. So I painted these beautiful, now remember, you have to understand this was in the 70s, these beautiful psychedelic posters that said Vacation Bible School.
Amen.
And the date. And I hung it outside this little church building. And there was a house full of hippies a couple of streets over who kept taking my signs. And I guess I painted at least three of them.
Amen.
But you know what? It didn't matter how many signs they took. God was still faithful. And before the end of that vacation Bible school, I not only had my 35 kids,
Amen.
But I had all the workers that I needed to help me have a successful vacation Bible school.
Well, you know, God is faithful, isn't he, hon?
He is.
We could go on and on, but we're going to run out of time here in a little bit. So tell me a little bit about your favorite song and about your favorite scriptures.
Everyone knows, Ray, that you're the singer in our family. But I've always loved music, and I used to play the accordion until we exchanged it for microphones and a soundboard. And I was usually the pianist at most of the churches we pastored.
Amen.
But my favorite song has always been, It Gets Sweeter as the Days Go By.
Amen.
And I'm not going to sing it. Maybe someday Ray and I will sing it together for you on the broadcast. But just listen to how the lyrics go. It says, the more I trust him, the more I love him. Nothing good for me he'll deny. The longer I know him, the better I can show him. Couldn't stop now if I tried. And then the verse says, oh, it gets sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter, sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Amen.
The last verse says, the moment he saved me, now listen, His good grace he gave me.
Amen.
He placed his love down deep in my heart.
Amen.
There's great joy in knowing to him I am going and never more from him to depart. And you know, if you listen to those words, then you will understand why that was and always has been one of my favorite songs. Nobody could love me more than Jesus loves me. And, you know, it says the moment he saved me, his good grace he gave me, he placed his love down deep in my heart. And there's great joy in knowing, in knowing that I don't have to worry or fret about what's going to happen or take place.
Amen.
I know where I'm
going.
Glory
to God.
So that's my favorite song, Ray.
Okay. Well, we may sing it for him one day.
Yeah, we might.
It was one of the first songs that we sang together, right?
Right. You always ask me, you're right, and you also ask me about my favorite scriptures. Two, of course, are the ones that our announcer reads at the first of the broadcast. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11 in the New International Version. And Ray, you know, can the people out there that are listening to us today have hope?
They can have hope.
Can they know that God has made a plan for them?
They can know it too.
And you know, the thing that's amazing, these plans and purposes that he had for us, he wrote them.
Amen.
What? When he formed us, where?
From the very foundation of this whole earth.
And when he formed us in our mother's
womb.
That's right.
Even before we ever come out of our mother's womb.
Right.
He knew everything about us.
He knew what he had planned for us.
Amen.
And listen to the last of this here. Plans. What does it say, Ray? Plans to what?
To give you hope and a future.
And to prosper.
And to prosper you. And I like to say never to harm you.
Yeah, not to harm you.
We can declare to you today, folks, that everything God does is good for you.
Amen, amen, amen. And then I love the other scripture that we read. And I think we only usually read verse 8. But I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 of Psalms 138. And it says, now listen, people, those of you out there that are hurting and have a need, listen to what he promised you in Psalms 138, verse 7 and 8. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand will save me. And then in verse 8, see, he's going to save us. He's going to deliver us.
Amen.
But then in verse 8, he makes it even better. He says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And then it gets even better. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands.
Amen.
Isn't that an exciting
Amen.
Verse, Raymond?
Praise God.
I mean, if you need hope, there's hope
Amen.
All right there. Of course, you know, I could go on and on about a lot of scriptures, but we just don't have time today. So I want to fast forward to the ministry scripture that just really resonates in my spirit about what God has called us to do. And of course, that's in Isaiah the 61st chapter, verses 1 through 4, and it goes like this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness,
Amen.
The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations.
Amen. That means we're not to tear down, but we're to restore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Ray, I could go on and on, but I've just got to be very concise. But there's another favorite to be found in Philippians 4, 7 through 9. And of course, I can't neglect to mention 1 John 5:14-15 about our confidence in him.
That was your mom's favorite.
That was my mom's favorite. Do you know how it goes?
It says,
This
is the confidence that I have in the Lord.
This is the confidence that I have in him, that if we've asked
anything
according to his will or his purpose,
yes,
we know that he hears us.
We know he hears
and
us.
What? If we know
and
that
he
hears us.
We know he hears us. What does he do, babe?
Then we know that we have the things that we have asked of him.
Go ahead and get them, folks.
Amen.
It's yours.
Amen.
Amen.
But have that confidence that when
you
ask,
you've got to have confidence.
He hears. And if he hears, then you know
Amen.
That you've received if you've asked according to whose will?
To the will of God.
His will.
Amen. Amen. Not our Amen. Will, but His will.
Amen. And of course, 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.
Okay,
we,
Pam.
Yeah, we talked about Woo. That for quite a while. And of course, you like to add the one that says, and he adds.
He adds no sorrow with it.
Okay, what's that whole verse?
It says that the blessing of the Lord makes us rich.
And?
Adds no sorrow with it.
Amen. People, Amen. You need to hear that today.
Amen.
And that's found in Proverbs
10 and 22.
10 and 22.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, listen, I know how you love to teach. I know how you love to preach. We are about out of time, I believe. But I have some exciting news to share. Hey, listen, folks. Pam and I have signed the lease on our minister suite. The address is going to be, now you need to get this down, 7017 Baker Boulevard, Suite B, Richland Hills, Texas, 75118. We are so excited because in the next month, we're going to be able to have seminars. We're going to have meetings at this location. God is faithful. When he gives you a big vision, he's always faithful to make the way when you can't.
Amen. You know, you're right, Ray, and I'm sure glad God is on our side and that he is the one leading us in the way that we should go. You know, next week we're going to have a special guest with us, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Amen. You know, a couple of, after the first of the year or at the end of last year, we were talking about motivational gifts.
Yes, we were.
And one of those gifts is giver.
Giver.
And so one of the biggest givers, she has the biggest one, a person that has one of the biggest hearts that I know,
uh-huh.
Beverly Crowley.
Beverly Crowley.
Is going to be here to share with us about giving and prosperity.
Yes.
And so I encourage you to tune in and listen because we want you to understand that just because we say there's motivational gifts in the body, we want you to hear from people who have these giftings in their lives and they have learned to operate in their gift.
Amen. Amen. Well, honey, I don't know. Is time flying by or not?
Yeah, it is. It always does when we're having fun.
I guess
fun.
When you're having fun, it goes quick.
It really does.
But it's really time now for our announcer, and he's going to come and tell you how to get in touch with us. Pam and I would love to have you to be a partner with us. Amen. We're believing for 50 partners, and we're believing there's at least 50 of you that's going to partnership with us and help us get out here and do the work of God and the things that we need to do. So we're going to ask you to send us your prayer requests, send us your praise reports, and baby, what do we do till next week?
God bless.
It's that time again. Time to say goodbye. But before we do, let me invite those of you who have not received Jesus as your personal Savior to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says in Acts 2 and 21, Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am calling on you. I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart and be Lord over my life according to Romans 10, 9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I do that now. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now declare, I am now reborn. I am a Christian, a child of Almighty God. I am saved. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. email us at victoryinliving. That's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Please visit us at our website at Victory in Living Ministries. Again, all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, according to Numbers 6, 24 through 26.
Oh, there are people never receiving anything from God at all. Oh, they are shaken in their believing. When they don't see results, they quickly fall. But don't you waver, you keep on living in the way God wants you to. Don't get discouraged, just keep on giving. Soon it will come back to you. You've got to keep casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. You've got to keep casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. As you're pressed down, check on the gatherer running over. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Seeking the kingdom instead of working for your need. You gotta keep sharing the love of Jesus, 'cause you know growing comes from planting seeds. You gotta keep casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. You gotta keep casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Good measure pressed down, shaking together, running over. Soon it's gonna come.